Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast on podcasting. Today, I'm going to talk about interviewing, how to interview people, because I really do believe that this is one of the most powerful and compelling, or even compelling, forms of content that can go in, well, frankly, any show, not just podcasts. Something magical happens, in my opinion, when you interview somebody. It's almost like your two souls combine and become a third entity, and they become sort of super additive. The sums of the two are greater than the, or you know what I'm trying to say, that thing where when you add them together, they're bigger than you expect them to be. A little bit of history about when I started interviewing. This should give you some hope. I mean, I was basically rubbish. I was very rushed. I was a bit unintelligible because I still do speak very quickly. I'm sort of making an effort to speak a bit more slowly now. And I was generally rubbish. And that was on a good day. But I did have some energy. And I think it's that energy and enthusiasm that that made the interviews tolerable. And of course, over time, just like anyone, I mean, I got better. And I learned sort of, you know, what works and what doesn't work to some degree. Now, I think if we're going to look at key things to make interviewing work, to make your interviewing technique a good technique, you need to get into some good habits. And I think probably the first thing to speak about is do spend a little bit of time before the interview doing some research and a bit of preparation. Now, I'm not saying that you have to spend hours and hours and hours sort of, you know, poring over the internet, trying to learn every single little thing about the person that you're about to interview. I think it's a good idea to have some goals in mind, things that you want to achieve with the interview, and to write down on a piece of paper or type out on your computer if you're a geek like me and don't like paper. Just, you know, bullet points, questions, things that you want to talk about. And, you know, depending on how long you want the interview to be, not too many of them. Don't go overboard. Just have, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 things that you want to talk about in this interview. And do a little bit of research. You want to be in a situation where you've sort of learned enough about the person that you're going to be having a conversation with, that you'll feel comfortable talking to them. So, you know, basic facts, you know, sort of what they've done in the past. Are they famous for anything? What do they do? What's their main thing? Try and pick up as you're sort of researching, and I guess you're going to be doing about 99% of this research on the internet. So check your sources. You know what they say about the internet. I read it on the internet, so it must be true. No. Is there anything controversial? That's another thing. Look out for controversial things. Are there any elephants in the room? And we'll talk about elephants in the room in a minute. So what you want to do is you want to end up with a list of bullet points, things that you want to cover. Must be brief, one page. And when you're actually doing the interview, which we'll come on to next or a bit later, just use them as a guide. Don't be afraid if, for example, you know, if your interviewee, if your guest says something a bit interesting and the conversation takes a bit of an interesting turn that you weren't expecting, don't be afraid to come off your list. Just use your list as a guide. You want the conversation to be natural and flowing. And your listeners will appreciate that because they'll really like that sort of content. They'll find it immensely engaging if you allow it to flow in that way, but sort of then gently bring it back to the list. Let me tell you a little story about a bit of a faux pas that I made. This is about 2 years ago now. I was actually asked to interview a young lady who was an authority, basically, on social media. She was a sort of regular speaker on the subject and basically a willing purveyor of knowledge. She was pretty much on the sort of social media speaking circuit. And the interview started and, you know, I was asking questions and I have to admit, I didn't get quite the rapport right. We never really quite hit it off. And then towards the end of the interview, and you'll see why it was the end of the interview in a minute, I asked her about a specific event that took place recently. Now, I'd done a bit of research and I knew about this event. I emphasised the word a bit. And so I said, you know, well, you know, tell me about this event that took place recently. You know, how did it go? And there was a bit of an awkward pause. And then she said, well, it never happened. There wasn't enough interest. And then she started sort of sort of going on about, you know, quite rightly, I mean, she was upset at this point about why it didn't happen and all this sort of stuff. And quite frankly, I felt like a complete idiot, and I was, because I hadn't done enough research. So although I'm saying don't spend all day doing your research, research enough so that you get you try and get all the facts and don't make that sort of faux pas that I did. You know, as you can imagine, that was pretty much the end of the interview, and it never got used. So beware, just try and get all the facts. Having said that, of course, the nice thing about interviews, as long as they're not live, if they do go horribly wrong, no one need ever know, unless you're incredibly honest like me and you go telling everyone. Okay, so let's talk about reports. This strange thing called report. Very tricky to quantify. If you read the textbooks, they say things like, you know, sort of part of rapport is sort of mimicking body language and sort of mimicking speech speed and stuff like that. And that's, I'm sure that's absolutely right. I never, well, at least I don't think I sort of consciously try and do that. To me, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm sure that's absolutely right. And perhaps we all do it subconsciously. For me, you have to get into a certain mindset before you start the interview. It's all to do with, I know it sounds really, really corny, but it's just trying to get in tune with the person you're talking to. And I find that a very, very good thing to do is to have a conversation before the actual interview. Okay, I'm going to have to have a drink of water. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause this recording and come right back to you. Ah, that's better. Good tip, always have a cup of water when you're recording. But we'll talk about that in another episode. Now, where was I? Yes, you've got to get into a certain mindset and warming up your interview with a sort of pre-interview chat, I think works wonders. Now, ask them a few open questions. This is the warm-up bit. Ask them a few open questions. If you're using Skype and they're miles and miles away in a different country, ask them what the weather's doing in their part of the country. Yes, I know it's really corny, but it's just a way of cracking the ice. You know, ask them what the weather's doing. If something embarrassing happened to you, you know, on the way to the studio or your office or the laboratory, as I like to call it, share it with them. Open up to them. I always find humour works very well. And you can tell when they get warmed up. As soon as you hear someone laughing, that's generally a pretty good sign that they're sort of warmed up and they're feeling pretty good about talking to you. They're feeling good with you. They're feeling in tune with you. That's what I do. Now, you may not be like that. You may not like humour, and you could use some other method. But I find, for me, humour works very well. And when you get actually into the interview, actually, this applies wherever you are, even if you're warming up or actually into the interview. I mean, you've heard all this before. It's basic stuff. Ask open-ended questions. What's an open-ended question? What's an open-ended question? Andy, get your teeth in. It's a question where the answer is not yes or no. So an example of a closed question is, are you a man? And if it's a man, he'll say yes. If it's a woman, he'll say no. An open-ended question is something like, so what do you think of this new legislation that just came in last week? And then they can go into a whole spiel about it. That's the difference between open and closed questions. Let me think, what else can I say here? You've got to get a sort of feeling of goodwill and friendliness towards your guest. To me, that's what rapport is all about. And you can normally tell when you've got it. And that's the aim, to build rapport as quickly, or rapport, as quickly as you can. Just get that sort of, that feeling of goodwill going both ways. Now, another massive tip, and this is probably the biggest tip, maybe it should have been the first thing, is listen. I said listen. No, really listen. Listen to your guest. It took me about, I'm now 48. I actually think I've learnt this lesson. I think I've pretty much got it licked about 6 months ago. So it took me 47 and a half years to learn this technique of listening. This is the biggest lesson that I had to learn, and it is a classic mistake when you're interviewing someone to do what I did, which was be thinking of the next question while they're talking to you. And if you do that, it gets really embarrassing, and I still do it a little bit from time to time when I forget myself. I do it even now, but I'm getting a lot better. So really work on this one. When people are talking to you, listen to them in a relaxed, receptive way. So that when they say something to you, if they say something that's interesting and you might want to probe that a bit later, having a notebook and a pen is a good thing as well, because you can just jot down something that you might want to ask later. I mean, if you've printed your bullet-pointed notes out, you could scrawl it on there, or if you've got it on your computer screen, it's still good to have a sheet of paper. Or if you're a total geek like me and hate paper, just have another little editor open where you can just jot things or put it in with your notes. But if you really truly care about your guest and you're listening, that will cause the next part of the conversation to flow naturally. It will unfold and flow naturally. And to truly listen and engage with a person, in my opinion, is one of the most profound forms of respect that you can give someone. And they'll appreciate that, and that will build rapport even more. One good little tip is to rephrase what your guest has just said in your own words, especially if it's a little bit convoluted and your listeners might not quite understand where they're going. I mean, if you don't understand it, your listeners probably didn't understand it. By sort of rephrasing what your guest has said in your own words, it has two effects. First of all, it ensures that you have understood what they meant. And as I just said, it helps the listener to understand as well. Because you really are the representative of your listener. You're the listener's ears, if you like. You're the proxy ears for your listeners. Another little tip that I discovered, I'm sure it wasn't me that discovered it, I'm sure it's been discovered billions of times by other people, but I personally discovered it a little while ago. As early as possible, try and find something that your guest says that you can connect with and make a comment on. So let me give an example. I was interviewing, in fact, no, I wasn't. I was just having a conversation. It wasn't an interview, but it would have applied in an interview. I was having a conversation with a chap only a couple of weeks ago, and he works for a well-known web agency in Brighton. And he was talking about how internet marketing data can be presented as stories to the client. Now, I found that quite an interesting idea, and I made a comment back to him about sort of, you know, how I liked this concept of turning stories, turning boring data into stories, and how I felt it was a great way to present it in an understandable way to people. Now, this had the following effect. First of all, he felt complimented because I'd verified his point. Secondly, it made him eager to talk more about it. And this was a sort of starting point of further conversation. So in an interview, that would be terrific. And thirdly, and possibly the most importantly, rapport was instantly boosted. But I keep saying rapport. It's rapport, isn't it? So you don't have to be perfect to do a podcast. So if you like, I'd made a deposit into the rapport bank account. Quite like that idea, making a deposit into the rapport. Make lots of deposits into the rapport bank account. Right, another massive tip. I'm just going to have another drink of water. Hang on a minute. Vintage water straight from the tap. Be yourself. Podcasting is all about being honest. It's all about honesty. It's all about projecting your own true personality. No, just be yourself. When I first started interviewing, in fact, when I first started podcasting back in 2000, and I always get mixed up, it's 2005, 2006, can't remember, never mind. I was actually quite tense when I interviewed. As a little side note here, I have this joke when I meet people, I always say, oh yes, I'm a closet introvert, normally gets a titter. That's not so far from the truth, because I think I'm not really an extrovert. I don't know how you measure introvert and extrovertness, but I am more introverted and geeky, I would say, than extroverted. And I've just become comfortable with the mic. The mic is my friend. Not quite sure why I went there, but I think it's all to do with being yourself. So anyway, yes, I was quite tense when I first started podcasting, and I was looking for an approach. And I will admit that at times, and I was trying to find myself, I did tend to model myself on other people that I had heard, sort of on the radio and on other podcasts. Now, I would generally discourage this. I mean, I went through it a bit in my journey, so maybe it's something we all have to go through. But try and develop your own style. I mean, I'll admit now, I'm still influenced by five or six different people on the, you know, that broadcast. But try and develop your own style. And I think I'm kind of getting there. And I would encourage you to do the same thing as well. So be yourself. Your listeners will appreciate you as you really are. They'll want to hear the real you. And trust me, over time, if you just keep practicing, you will develop your own unique, keyword, unique, style over time. That will grow and that will develop. And that's a good thing. Let's talk about, finally, elephant in the room. Don't ignore the elephant in the room. I'm going to credit this one to my good friend Neil Cole. Neil is a presenter. He presents the World Rally on the Dave TV channel. At least he does in Europe and the UK. I'm not sure if he's worldwide. I think he's in some countries. So some of you might know Neil. Super guy. And I was chatting to him about 6 months ago now. Neil has interviewed loads of famous and not so famous people on the TV and the radio. He used to be a radio presenter as well. Now, the elephant that Neil refers to is basically any really big, obvious sort of current thing about the guest that is just ripe for discussion, that really ought to be discussed, even if it's a little bit awkward. Very much like having an elephant in the room would be. That's why it's called the elephant in the room. Now, the trick here is you've got to approach this delicately. You do need to develop your own style and your own approach in tackling awkward questions. And again, I use humour. I use humour a lot. The sort of slightly tongue-in-cheek approach. But you do have to be careful with humour, though. It can get you into trouble. It certainly got me into trouble, into a few tight corners in the past. So do be aware of that. But it's a very valid and important point. Don't ignore the elephant in the room. If you're going to interview someone that's perhaps a bit controversial or might have a few skeletons in the closet, you know, as long as the rapport's there and you think you can get away with it without getting hit, go for it. As long as you don't offend people. And don't forget, if it all goes horribly wrong, no one need know apart from your guest. So don't burn any bridges. But it's just something worth thinking about. The elephant in the room. But above all, I would say, just practice, just do it. Your style and all these little tips are going to come with practice, and I would love to hear how you get on with your interviews. So do feed back and let us know how you get on with your interviewing. If you've got any further questions, of course, as always, contact me. Contact details are at the end, in the little music thingy at the end. And let me know, and we can perhaps do some more shows on bits about interviewing I haven't covered. My lord, we're into 18 minutes. This is a long one. I'm going to sign off. So, prosperity to you all. Enjoy the journey. Andy White, signing off.